And this is...
English at Home is fun!
Hey, Noriko, how you doing today?
I'm super. Thank you, Michael. How about you?
I'm doing awesome, and I'm really excited because today we have a special guest.
Wow, special guest from where, Michael?
Well, it's Aiko the Schwa Girl, and Aiko is an American English pronunciation coach based in Hawaii.
Wow, awesome. Wow, I can't wait. Mm-hmm.
Aiko teaches Japanese people who really need to work on their pronunciation so that they can communicate better at work and at home. And Aiko, are you here?
Yes, I am.
Excellent. Welcome.
Yay, thank you.
Thank you for coming. Thank you for visiting.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, this is really, really exciting. We don't have a lot of guests on our podcast. Most of the guests that we've had on the podcast here, I think, are little children, right?
Right. Very pretty, cute people, right?
Right. So you're one of our first or second adults.
Thank you.
So Aiko, tell us a little bit about, you know, what you do and you know, what you focus on and all that kind of things like that.
Yes. So I only teach pronunciation, American English pronunciation, to Japanese who are in the US. And I learned linguistics and I really loved phonetics. So I really like, you know, human speech, sounds, like how to produce the sounds. And then I learned, and then after I trained my ear, now I'm able to detect how the tongue is moving. So when I hear my client's pronunciation, I can tell how the person is moving the tongue. So I give the person specific instruction how to change the tongue position and also the breathing, you know, stuff like that, so that, you know, my clients can improve their pronunciation. So it becomes really understandable because Japanese accent, you know, if you have a very thick Japanese accent, like katakana pronunciation, it's pretty hard for native speakers to understand. So my job is to reduce their accents so that they're able to communicate better in the US.
Wow.
Awesome.
Yeah, I really love what I do. So I'm so passionate about linguistics.
How did you get into that?
Well, first, when I came to the States, that was when I was 23 years old, and my pronunciation was not understandable at all. So I myself had like a lot of struggles in the US because of my English pronunciation. And then as I got better and then moved to LA, I saw many Japanese people in LA were struggling because of their pronunciation. So I thought maybe, you know, I could help. Then I started teaching them.
Okay.
Yes.
So your focus is just on pronunciation and accent reduction?
Yes, just accent reduction. Yes, I'm not good at grammar or like phrases. Uh-huh. So pronunciation is the only thing that I can teach.
Interesting.
Okay. Yeah.
So Aiko-san, I have a question.
Yes.
So how did you learn, you know, that kind of, you know, knowledge of, you know, reduction? And you studied or someone told you about that?
Yes. So when I moved to LA, actually, I didn't know any basics about pronunciation. So and then I realized one day, that was the pronunciation of bank, B-A-N-K. And the time I didn't know the vowel, so I pronounced it bunk.
Oh, I see.
Right?
Different.
So bunk, bunk is B-U-N-K, right? So that time I didn't know the difference between bank and bunk. So then a native speaker pointed out, he understood what I wanted to say, but he said, you know, it sounds kind of different. So I didn't know what different meant at that time, and then realized that, oh, I need to learn basics. I bought pronunciation book and then studied and I took accent reduction lessons, and I became fascinated by the like human speech. So I became really interested in linguistics. So I went to UCLA and studied linguistics there. And I became so interested in phonetics and intonation. So I studied, and then I started teaching like more core, you know, pronunciation lessons since then.
Well, thank you.
So it all came from the bunk.
Oh, also, I couldn't say a word fact. You see how it goes, maybe. So I didn't know the pronunciation of fact. So I used the shua instead. So it became really bad word that you're not supposed to say in public.
Yes, you understand it now? You can't say it here now.
But I said it so loudly at school. And then people around me started laughing at me. But at the time, I didn't know what was going on. So I got so embarrassed. It was really funny. And then like slowly, I realized that pronunciation basics are very, very important to learn.
So when you started out learning that and you studied linguistics, at that time, did you have a plan that someday I'm going to teach this, or were you just doing that initially like for your own benefit?
To help yourself? Just to have benefit for myself. But then I realized that now I can imagine how the tongue is moving by listening. So maybe I can use this special skill to help other people.
Yeah, Aiko-san, since you went to US at 23 years old, you said?
Yes.
So since then, you never came back to Japan? I mean, just temporarily, of course, but not to like, you know, you come back and then work here and then go like that, or you just stay in US?
Yes.
I mean, live in US.
Yes, yeah, since then. And I was gonna go back to Japan, but then I really liked the, you know, American culture. So I decided like, oh yeah, I wanna stay here.
Wow, that's nice. Yeah. I wish I could do that.
Yes.
Yeah, wow.
And so how did you get into teaching?
How did I get into teaching?
Yeah.
I just started teaching.
okay.
Yeah, I didn't have any experience before, but I just started and then slowly building my experience and clientele.
Focusing on pronunciation.
Yes, just pronunciation.
Oh, okay. Aside from fact and bunk.
Yes.
I think there are a lot of commonly known pronunciation issues that a lot of Japanese people have, like R and L problem or B and V. Were there any particular sounds in English that you were kind of like surprised that a lot of people struggle with that are maybe not as typical as those two?
Oh my gosh, so many. One thing that probably a lot of Japanese people have a problem with would be vanilla, because katakana pronunciation is vanilla. Vanilla. And if you pronounce it vanilla, vanilla, then, you know, it's pretty different from vanilla. So I was trying to pronounce it vanilla. And I think that the time I was at a cafe trying to order some vanilla latte or something, and the cashier didn't understand me. I repeated vanilla for like 4 times or something, and I gave up. I think I wrote down, and the cashier was like, "Oh, vanilla!" But that time I didn't know the difference.
Then now you can laugh, but that day you didn't. You was just puzzled, right? Why?
When the cashier said, "Oh, vanilla," I was like, "What's the difference?" That's what I said.
Exactly. Aiko-san, how about this pronunciation? A happy new year, and I have ears. you know, because we almost, you know, everybody understand it, a happy new year, you know, every year right. when we have a new year. So, and once I had a conversation with my friend and her sons were sitting beside her, and then I was talking to her, and she understood why I said a happy new year, but the sons are laughing, started just laughing, and then couldn't stop laughing, and I was curious, and why you guys laughing? And because you said ear, and he just grabbed his ears and just pinching his ear to the side and show me how, you know, my pronunciation sounded. So that's the time I was that's so hard, because I really thought that I could, but actually I didn't, and so from that day I just tried to focus on, you know, ear, Y sound. Wow, that's very difficult sometimes when, you know, you're speaking, you know. You just focus on one word, it's okay. But, you know, ear, you can say ear. But when you say a happy new year, so, you know, become like ear.
Right,
new ear,
right.
New ear, you got a new ears? And he was so laughing. It was so funny.
How old are those kids?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Noriko-san, I had the same experience. My when I said Happy New Year to my friends, American friends, mm-hmm. they started grabbing their ears, and then they said they started laughing at me. At the time, I didn't know the difference, so I kept saying Happy New Year. And then also, I used to sing a lot in front of American people.
Wow.
And then when it comes to singing, American people become really, really picky about pronunciation, and then the word year. Is in almost every song. So when I when I was trying to pronounce year, I was pronouncing it ear. So people were just picking on me and laughing at me.
Right. But you didn't know why it was so funny. Right?
I had no idea.
Oh, that happened. Yes.
Because you were singing all through the ears.
Oh my god. Yes. Oh my god. Yeah, it's like it's been years, you know, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So it was so funny to them. Yeah.
So let's say that I want to, you know, I'm from Japan, I want to improve my pronunciation because I'm working in America. What are your best tips for somebody? What do I have to start doing that I haven't been doing? You know, what do I need to do?
Yes. So the first thing is to pronounce
vowels.
More. Because Japanese language focuses on consonants, but then American English focuses on vowels. So we Japanese tend to focus on consonants more when we speak English, and then we tend to forget about vowels. But when you speak English, you want to focus on the vowels. You cannot skip vowels, so you want to pronounce vowels, each vowel really clearly, and then longer than they think they should pronounce them.
Can you give us an example of that?
Yes, for example, there is a funny mistakes that I made. I was assisting a teacher at an elementary school, and then I was talking with her, and then I pronounced sheet, S-H-E-E-T, shoulder. I pronounced it shoulder, so it became a bad word.
Sheet.
Do you see the word that it became?
Okay. Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So because my vowel was too short, so it became different word, which was like a really bad word. And I said it so loudly, and then the teacher got mad at me. And it happened in a teacher's room at an elementary school. So I, you know, the teacher yelled at me because I'm not supposed to say that word in public. So I learned that, wow, each vowel needs to be really long. Otherwise, it can become very bad word, or it can become very different word.
Mm-hmm.
So each vowel is really, really important to pronounce slowly.
And hold them longer than somebody might think.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah, so we Japanese, the tongue position for Japanese, by default, the back of the tongue is always like going up. So we are able to cut, like chop vowels easily because we don't want to prolong the vowels in Japanese language. So the tongue position is different. So you want to lower the back of the tongue so that when you speak English, you don't chop vowels. So the tongue position is really important.
How do you do that? How do you control your tongue position?
To open your throat by lowering the back of the tongue. Basically, you want to open up as if you yawn, like, oh, then you can feel the back of the tongue goes down.
Oh, okay.
So that's the way that American people always have. The throat area is always open by default. But for Japanese people, the area is always tight. So that's why we cannot project the voice and the air doesn't really come out. Also, that's why we are able to chop the vowels really short. So that we are able to speak polite Japanese that way.
Oh, that's really, really interesting. You know, I just yawned and I felt that sensation and I never realized, you know, where my throat and tongue position was as a native English speaker. Mm-hmm. That's really, really interesting. Yeah, you're right. It's down.
Yeah, it is down. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for native speakers of English. Yes. Yeah, so that's the one thing that Japanese can change consciously. We just, you know, try to yawn and open the throat area. That will change a lot, you know, by just doing that.
Interesting. Aiko-san, what do you think about my English? I never thought about, you know, tongue lowered or anything like that. But I'm trying to speak English.
Oh, you sound amazing.
Really? I never thought about, you know, anything like that. I'm not a... Yeah. Oh, really? Am I okay?
Yeah, but I hear that the back of the tongue, like back of your tongue is kind of up by default. So if you just lower the back of the tongue a little bit, like as you yawn, you're going to sound even better.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah.
I'm still learning. Yeah, thank you.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, awesome.
That's a great point. Like some people say, oh, I'm too old to learn something new. I'm too old to be able to do this. Or... you know, they have this kind of like, oh, I can't speak English. I'm not good at speaking English. Like, it's a confidence issue, right?
Yes.
What's your take on that? And what's your advice to your clients and your students about confidence?
Well, I started when I was 23. And I, you know, as an adult learner, nothing is too late to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I still learn something new every day. I still like notice some pronunciation tips every day. And I feel like I'm improving almost every day. And I practice a lot also. So as I see, there's no limit. I always tell my clients that they can improve from any level. They think that their pronunciation is good enough. They can even become better. So, that's my like motivation. That's how I want to encourage other people. They can become confident in their pronunciation even after they became an adult and then started learning. Their pronunciation can become really, really good.
And you said you keep practicing. Still, you're still practicing.
Yes, every day. Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Yes. Even living in US, you still feel like you need to practice.
Yes. Because the you know, like learning a new language after you become an adult, it's not it doesn't come naturally. So you know, you have to practice, and then also you have to keep practicing so that you don't lose it. So even in the US, I try not to use Japanese too much so that I can keep my English skill.
Living in Hawaii, there are many Japanese who understand your Japanese and you sometimes don't don't have to speak English to Japanese people.
Right, so if I choose to speak Japanese in Hawaii, I can, right? So I try not to do that, because if I do that, and I will lose my English. So, you know, I'm trying to balance out here.
Oh, interesting. You know, most of the Japanese people here believe that if I go to the US to live with someone, especially, you know, speaking English at home, and outside you have to, you know, English really, you know, you can catch up English so easily. That's what we think. So, but it's not happen actually. If you live in US, but you need to practice. You have to improve your English.
Right. Yeah. Actually, I thought...
Yeah.
I was thinking that way too. I thought my English will become at native level after 3 months of living in the US.
But it
didn't happen.
Yeah.
It's not happening.
Yeah. Only 3 months.
I know.
Yes.
Yeah, it didn't happen.
I see.
There's an old, it reminds me of an old Snoopy cartoon where Linus and Charlie Brown are talking about music, and Charlie Brown said to Linus, "Oh, your uncle plays the violin, you know, he must be really good." And then Linus said, "Well, he goes to listen to the orchestra almost every day, but he still can't play the violin well." And I remember that because I come from a musical background. And so, like, yeah, like, you know, I play the guitar and I love jazz guitar, and I could go to the Blue Note every night and listen to jazz guitarists. But if I don't put the instrument in my hand, it's not going to happen, you know? So it's the same with English. I agree with you. Like, I lived in Japan for 4 years, and you know, just because I lived in Japan doesn't mean I have perfect Japanese. Far from it. You know, that's a great step to live in the country where they speak the language that you want to, you know, you want to improve, you want to use. But yeah, you have to work on it. I completely agree with that.
Yeah, I think it's totally like music. Yes, it doesn't.
Yeah, because music is a language. Yeah.
Right. So you have to practice. Obvious, yeah. But for some reason, people think that learning a language is much easier for some reason. You know, if it's obvious for people, if they want to be able to play piano, then they have to practice piano. But when it comes to language, for some reason, they feel like, oh yeah, I can just, you know, practice 10 minutes a day for 3 months, then, you know, I'm gonna become really good at it. You know, type of stuff, but it doesn't really happen that way.
Oh, wouldn't that be awesome if it could, though?
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, that was my expectation, though, before I came to the States. But then I realized that no, it's not working. You know, it's not like that at all.
Right. Mm-hmm. How important is listening? You know, if I think about music. And I want to play jazz, I need to listen to jazz to be able to have output of jazz. But in terms